You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, so let's then get into some of the other defensive guys, and then let's swing over to the offensive side. And we've touched on this on a super-duper high level. But you got Chin, you got Furl, you got re-signing Jeremy Reeves, which is huge for special teams, but also gives you some depth. You have, who else on the, Luvu, Armstrong, who we talked about a little bit already, but like, what do you see starting to come together on the defensive side? And are there any of those guys that really stand out to you beyond Wagner?
Yeah. So I think the whole, I mean, Luvu, like when you watch the film, man, gosh, like he just jumps.
He's got a chance to be like a part of the talent.
I think so. I mean, I think when you look at this list, there's three guys that really stick out to me. It's Luvu, Armstrong, and then the center, Biadasz, I think, right? Those guys, based on contract structure, based on the film, you say these guys, like Armstrong is a great example. He was in it. He's a talented guy. I've always liked his film. Very good situational pass rusher, but kind of a limited role. What does he project now that he's getting more snaps? And I think that's kind of what you're looking at here. And then Luvu, I mean, Luvu played almost every snap for them, so it's not quite the same thing, but gosh, just like a cultural piece in terms of play style that gets you really fired up, right? And obviously things happen, things change, but same thing. And then Biadasz, again, is a consistent player that is going to, again, like does the right things, decent athlete, not a perfect player, but good football player. So those are kind of the three guys of that group. Obviously one guy from offense there. You say, those feel like moving forward talented pieces that that are going to be part of when the sign's hanging on the door in a couple of years.
To you, are they done at defensive end or do they need more? Like, are you interested in bringing in, like, Jadeveon Clowney's still out there? And I don't know if he's a Dan Quinn guy. I don't know enough about him personally. That's not to say that he's not. But, like, if they say, yes, cultural fit, and he fit in Baltimore last year, which is certainly something, like, would you be wanting to bring in someone like that? Are you draft? Or are if they line up and it's Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Furl with Dante Fowler in rotation, and KJ Henry and Andre Jones, along with, you know, the D tackles that they got, is that good enough for that D line room?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think they want to add more pieces. I think when you look at what made Dallas so excellent last year, obviously they got Micah Parsons, but they had four, five guys that could really, really rush the passer at a high level. And I think you just can't overstate the importance of pass rushers in this defense and what it does for the back end, right? Because they don't need to blitz a ton. They have guys that are creative, have that good, that kind of je ne sais quoi as a pass rusher, the feel, the bend, the hand work, right? And so I think they've got three guys that are pretty good, but I want more. And I think Dan wants more too. So if there's an opportunity to sign Jadeveon Clowney or Kyle Van Noy, for an example, another veteran piece that, you know, is in here on a one-year deal that's going to be, that understands their role and maximizes the other guys, I think absolutely. And then I don't even think that precludes you from drafting a guy. Like, I think you can never, if you look at good defense in the NFL, you can never have too many good pass rushers. Like, you just can't. And so if there's a guy that you think for this year is going to help get you done and help you kind of establish that culture element, get him in here. If there's a guy at 36 that you think has got some pass rush juice, like Noah Ellis, who again, a lot of people aren't super high because he's undersized, but that dude's got some pass rush juice, get him in here. Because defensively, like that's what makes this whole thing go. That's what made Dallas go, right? We just could throw. That's what made Seattle go when he was in Seattle and they were really rolling. They literally had a hockey rotation of pass rushers. It's like, oh, you guys are a little bit tired. Here's four more dudes, right? And like, right, they're all really right, good, you know? So I think absolutely. More pass rushers. Get as many as you can. If the price is right, get them in here.
And then the one area though, where I still think that there is a huge need is corner. Because the other way that this all works together is that the rush and the coverage marry, and you need a good enough back end for that to work. And obviously Forbes, I think, is going to be a starter, is the former first rounder and the ball hawk and all of that. But we still don't know what they think of BSJ. We don't know how they're going to use Quan Martin. You know, obviously they get Chin, it was described to me, by someone down in Carolina as much more of a box player, but, you know, obviously he's a safety, so he'll wind up over the top some. But like, to me, that is the area that is still a huge area of need. And I think what's interesting is that left tackle, which we'll talk about when we get to the offensive side, those markets haven't moved at all. Like right. Most of the big players at those positions haven't signed. Like Kendall might be the top corner available and he hasn't signed. You haven't heard anything really about him yet. So where does that leave you in terms of corner and maybe some of the guys available? Again, we're taping this. We're now at almost 10:15 a.m. on Thursday, because the nature of podcasting is you say something and then something else happens before you actually get it to the ears of the people. But, you know, Jordan Lewis and Stephon Gilmore played for Dan in Dallas. You got a bunch of other guys still out there as well. Where are you at on the back end of this defense?
Yeah, so I think, you know, if I'm Dan, I look at BSJ, I look at Forbes, and I think they're really talented pieces. You know, they are physically very gifted. And if I'm Dan, I'm very optimistic. I should stop saying Dan. If I'm Witt, I'm very optimistic that I can maximize those guys, given my track record of doing that with guys that were, you know, a little different stylistically. You know, what was the guy who had six interceptions last year for Dallas?
Deron Bland.
Yeah, Bland, right? Like, he's a 6th-round pick. Like, I'm very confident that I can take traits and maximize them. But I totally agree with you. I think they definitely need to get another corner in here. I don't know stylistically what they're looking for. Obviously, I love Kendall. I think he had a, you know, in terms of years last year, he had a very good year. You know, I just think it's interesting that he hasn't signed yet. Maybe he's looking for more money, or maybe he's just letting the market kind of unfold. But if they brought him back, I think that'd be great. Gilmore would be great because of the familiarity with Dan and Witt and all the defensive staff here. But I definitely think they need somebody. And, you know, traditionally they like guys that are a little bit aggressive, tall, long, lean guys that have long arms that can use that length to make up for some of their footwork shortcomings. And so I look at that and I say, is there anybody on the market like that? No one pops off the page necessarily to me, but that doesn't mean they don't have somebody on the radar that they're really stoked about. But I definitely think you need to get a corner in here. He needs to be a really good football player, because much like the linebacker, much like the defensive line group, you just can't go in with kind of, you just need that kind of veteran presence in there. And I think that's especially important for both players. It's important for Forbes and it's important for BSJ. You just need that presence in there to kind of guide and mentor that group. So,
yeah, Kendall's interesting to me because I love Kendall as well and have really enjoyed covering him twice now. But I like, he doesn't scream Dan Quinn player to me. Like, he's got this really calm demeanor. You know, he's not like a huge physical hitter. And so while he's a great technician, he plays with tremendous anticipation. And I would love to see a lot of those traits under Joe Witt and the crew that they've assembled there defensively. I don't know that he screams like what the new identity of the team is, even if I like him a lot and would like wouldn't blink twice if he came back.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel the same way. And I do think they like, if I was Dan, if I was Witt, if I was the defensive back coach, I would love his anticipatory ability, right? Because he does have a good feel of playing the ball, route concepts. He plays with great technique, and that's awesome. But the other thing I think that's important just to talk about here is this defense was bad last year. And while he was a very good player on a bad defense, like, there's something to be said for cultural turnover, you know, for getting new people and new ideas in here. And I think that's not Kendall's fault. And hopefully he finds an opportunity. If he is back here, fantastic. But they might be looking at it that way. Like, is there a guy like a Stephon Gilmore, who again is not from here, from a winning culture, from a defense that he has familiarity with the defense already, that can come in and kind of show what we need in the same way you're getting Zach to do Bobby Eckler. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's something that needs to be acknowledged here. It's not like a knock on Fuller's play. It's just that when you're kind of doing a renovation of a team, that's a huge element in terms of kind of getting what you want from a mentality standpoint at each position.
Well, especially because Kwon and Forbes are like two essential pieces. Like, you want the same vet in the room. No, you want a new vet in the room to help change that over. So I think that's really well put. Let's go on the offensive side of the ball to wrap things up, Logan, which includes a couple of interesting names brought in that we haven't talked about yet, as well as the biggest hole remaining for sure on this roster. We'll close there in a second at left tackle. But what do you think of Austin Eckler coming in here? Obviously, we talked about kind of the foundational type of pieces. I think he hits a lot of those notes, the familiarity with Anthony Lynn, but a guy that a couple years ago was still one of the best running backs in the NFL. How does he mix with and potentially even push Brian Robinson if he's healthy? Obviously, if he's lost a step, he's going to slide into that backup role, and that becomes pretty easy. But let's play a what if game. Let's play a little bit of optimism. What if Austin Eckler's healthy and is still Austin Eckler? What does this look like in that running back room?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you watch the film of 2023, like, you know, early in the season, he looked very explosive. Obviously, he has that ankle injury and looks like it slows him down a little bit. He's an interesting player because I think he does have good, like, line crossing ability, like kind of vertical north-south speed and ability to break tackles. But, he's always been characterized as this great pass receiver, and he does catch the football really well, but he's not like this twitched up route runner. So I'm kind of curious to see like what they do with him. Cause when I think of a route running back, I think of like Christian McCaffrey, you know, a guy that can line up in the slot and run routes and do some things. And there's other guys in the league like that. Aaron Jones, a great example. Eckler isn't quite on that same level. So he's a good pass protector, hard runner, good vision. And he still has some explosive ability if he's healthy. So I don't know. I'm really curious to see how they do use him. And I just think it's great. I really think it's awesome for Brian Robinson and Chris Rodriguez. You know, I'm not saying either one of those guys is a lock to make the team or anything like that, but I just think they have having someone in the room like that is so powerful to motivate and push and get the most out of guys. Because, like, you know, the status quo, like if they had re-signed Antonio Gibson, I just think it kind of ends up being the same type of feel. But now new blood kind of unsettle the room a little bit. And it's going to force guys to step up and improve. And I think I do think the staff is going to be pleasantly surprised with the athleticism and the power that B-Rob does have. And I know they've done a self-scout, so I think they're aware of it. But I think seeing in a person is going to be different. And I think Eckler, again, is a guy that gives you some security and insurance and, again, a maturity about the position that will be nice for that room. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like the pass catching element on third down, like do you need to necessarily go out and line up in the slot and route somebody up? No. Can you be an effective outlet and do you like reliably catch the swing pass when it's thrown to you as a check down? And then can you make guys miss and get yards in the open field? And that's kind of where Eckler's been great. Obviously also very good as a runner, has led the NFL in touchdowns over a wide stretch of years earlier in the decade. But he is a guy that is reliable as a pass catcher where you're not, you know, if you throw it to him, he'll catch it and then you'll see what he does, even if he's not going to line up in the slot and have some of the flexibility that an Antonio Gibson had, nevertheless, a Christian McCaffrey. I'd also, you know, think that he's probably pretty reliable at this stage of his career as a pass blocker, 100%. I'd hope. And so that third down role is kind of, I think, what at this point in his career he's best suited as. But is, you know, if all of a sudden B-Rob misses a game, like can he step in as a first and second down back? Can he be your primary guy? If he's healthy, absolutely. But I also love your point about shaking up the room too. And it's kind of the same thing we just talked about with Kendall at corner. Is like if B-Rob has AG behind him, then he's knows that he's RB1. If you got Austin Eckler behind you, like you're gonna make sure that you do everything, leave no stone unturned. And that's kind of necessary, I think, at times in the NFL.
Yeah, just to be clear, like with the pass catching thing, like I always think if Logan Paulson's an offensive coordinator in the NFL, I want a guy that I can use as a true mismatch weapon. And when in LA, when he was with the Chargers, like he's more of a check down guy. which again, there's value there. He does a good job on screens. Like there's value there too. It's not, you know, maybe this high end, you know, offensive weapon thing, but he is an explosive guy who does well catching the football. So it's just his role. I don't want fans to think like, oh, we got this great elite kind of miss. We can line him up all over the floor. That's not really what he does, right? He's good in those other areas that you described, which again are valuable to the offense, specifically on third down, especially when you're in a lot of five-man pro. Like there's a little outlet, running a swing pass, back's going to catch it, he'll get you five. We can live with that. Oh, it's a hot answer versus a blitz, or hey, we got a screen set up. He does a great job with the timing and rhythm of those opportunities. So I think just to be clear about what I was explaining there, there's value to what he does. It's just not, I think a lot of fans hear pass catching running back and they think, oh, he's going to be, oh, all over the field. He's a receiver. Da, da, da. But
yeah,
no,
he's what Chris Thompson different. Used to be. Like you line him up outside and he can do some things. It's not who he is.
Not quite like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Other big backfield move is Mariota. And this, I think, I don't say it came out of nowhere. It shouldn't have in hindsight, especially because a lot of these, the higher coaches
on staff.
Isn't
that funny how
that
goes? Isn't that funny? You're like, I should have seen this from like a mile away, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. So Lynn gets Eckler. DQ now has Bobby. You know, you got different guys on the D-line that are kind of Quinn guys. Some of the secondary guys, maybe your Joe Wick guys or whatever. But Brian Johnson, assistant head coach, his guy's Mariota. He was with him last year in Philly. And you're like, Duh. That makes a lot of sense. I think that Mariota is maybe the most controversial signing so far, in part because he's your quarterback, right? Like he's the guy that currently probably sits at QB1 in the room, pending what happens at number two. I think a lot of us think that whoever they take it to might not ultimately be ready to start week one. And thus Marcus Mariota might be your week one starter next year. And I also think that when we think of like veteran quarterbacks, that's not the first guy that comes to mind because of how things went down at the end of his time in Atlanta. Now, I would say that that was a very complicated situation. There's injury. He had just had a child and the ability to go and be a father and get recover from knee surgery. Like, I don't blame him at all for that. It clearly wasn't greatly communicated. Also seems like communicating with Arthur Smith is challenging at times. We don't know what went on there beyond what we learned from Netflix. And the quarterback show, but at the end of it, what do you make of Mariota as, you know, the guy to come in and be the vet in the room, what you've heard about him as a guy, as a mentor, as a leader, and how he fits with what you think Brian Johnson, Anthony Lynn, Cliff Kingsbury, all putting together with this offense?
Yeah. You know, it depends on who you talk to, but I've heard that he's relatively well-liked, you know, on the teams that he's played for and what he's done. So I think that's good. You know, in terms of playing and play style, I'm not sure that he like blows the doors off necessarily. Like he's a backup quarterback for a reason. Like, I think he can run an offense. I think the ability to run the football from the quarterback spot is extremely important. I think when you look at what he did in Atlanta, like that was the thing that took that running game from, I think they were 21st, you know, to kind of a top five thing, is just having the ability to move that guy around. So I think that's like his superpower. And if you have a staff that understands that and can maximize that, great. And I think, you know, obviously Brian Johnson like knows him and understands what he brings. So I'm going to defer to him, but I think it's not like he's a good backup guy. He's been around in multiple offenses. He can communicate well. I think he's going to be a good fit for the room. And that's kind of what I view the signing. I don't think you need to extrapolate anything more than that, right? Like, I know the name gets people excited. Was he the first pick overall, second overall, whatever
second.
He was?
It was him and Winston. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I think, you know, like I personally, I like Jacoby Brissett better, but I do think there's value to what Mariota brings. And I think in this spread kind of air raid system, he's had a lot of experience with it. So, or versions of it. I know we're kind of getting away from that terminology, but I think he has some experience with some of the concepts that Cliff is familiar with. So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I agree with you on Brissett, but I would you know, that might have been a Brissett decision that he wanted to go to New England, where he's like, yeah, I think that I'm probably going to be able to start here. and depending on what the conversations were, and, you know, that's what I wonder about a guy like Tannehill, who I would have really liked to see here. You know, was he told, like, nah, we can't guarantee you anything? And he was like, no, I'm going to go find somewhere. You know, Gardner Minshew goes to Las Vegas because he's probably going to be the starter week one. So there's a lot of, I think, of that kind of, the players have a choice in free agency element to this as well. Are you going to let me have a little talk radio fun here?
Sure. What do you want to do?
I think Sam Howell's a better quarterback if he's got to play than Marcus Mariota at this stage of their careers. So what do we do with that information if you agree?
You know, I don't know if that's super hot takey, because I definitely think at this point in their careers, Sam is throwing the ball a little bit better. Right. Than
I think it's actually more interesting, because it's not like the analysis piece that Sam is better than Marcus is not that hot takey.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you do with that information? Like, what does it mean that gets a little hairy?
I mean, I think you always want to keep good football players around. And I think there was a period of time where, you know, I had talked to some people at the combine. They're like, oh, I'd give a third round pick for Sam. You know, they're like, oh, well, I would take that, you know, because that's good value. Right. And especially if I'm Adam Peters, I'm not tied to the player. But I think after the Mac Jones thing and how that's kind of matriculated away in terms of the value of these kind of backup style quarterbacks, I don't think you're going to get that from him. And for Sam, and I think you keep him on the roster. And again, I want good football players. And I think when you look at who said this, a GM, he used to be in Philadelphia, I forget his name, but he's like, I always want to make sure we develop quarterbacks, because those are assets that have tremendous value, right? So either I can trade that asset if it develops, or he starts and we win football games. So at this point, unless the price is right, I'm like, I actually don't hate what Sam is doing. I don't hate his physical skill set. I, you know, obviously there were points last year where it got really rough for him and he couldn't figure it out. But I think the highs were definitely starting caliber, you know? And I think it's the same thing. It's the same thing that Las Vegas is going through with O'Connell right now. It's like, you don't want to get rid of that asset unless you're getting something you deem equally as valuable in return. So based on what happened with Mac Jones, I don't think he leaves. I think he's here. And I think I feel pretty good about that, because I think it's an opportunity for him to continue to develop and become something that can be pretty impactful down the road. Kind of like, I hate to say this is maybe high end, but like Geno Smith-ish, where he sits for a couple of years, finds an opportunity, and then ends up starting some games at some point down the road. So,
yeah, I think the question becomes, like, what happens if in training camp, it is clear that currently going into week one, Sam Howell, who you anticipated being QB3, is the best quarterback to win you football games. And that's where I wonder, like, what the conversations are like with Mariota. Yeah. Do they make that move? Do they just say, like, nah, screw it, we're playing the vet for whatever reasons? And that assumes that the number two pick isn't ready. That assumes that Sam is showing much better, like unquestionably better or unquestionably better than Mariota. So,
which he might, you know, honestly.
Yeah,
because he's more talented. I think he's, as a thrower, he's more talented. And so what I would say is that Dan, at least in my experience, has not been married to, like, I paid you more money, you're going to be the starter type situations. You know, like, he's not been married to that. So if that does happen, like, I could see them keeping Mariota, right? Having that veteran presence in the room, but Sam ends up being the starter. And again, like, why do we need to constantly, like, definitively answer? Like, sometimes it's nice to have options and hedge a little bit. Let's keep all three guys and see what happens. I'm not saying you're saying anything different.
Yeah.
But I think
that's why it's good to have the conversation with you, is like, you know, Dan well enough to know that, like, that's actually a possibility. Cause I feel like the last staff, and to be fair to them, many staffs around the NFL would just play the politics game and be like, sorry, Sam, you're stuck, dude. Yeah. And you know, obviously Quinn was there for, like, the ultimate version of this. He was the DC and not involved in the decision, but, like, 2012, 2013, Seattle, whatever it was, they signed Matt Flynn to a bunch of money, and Russell Wilson kicked his ass in training camp, and Russell Wilson went on to be Russell Wilson, and Matt Flynn was never really heard of again.
Yeah.
His paycheck, his bank account's doing nice. but you know, that's good to know. And I think it's something that we'll certainly keep an eye on throughout training camp. I mean, the best case scenario is the number two pick comes in and gets coached
looks
good.
Looks like he's ready to go. Right.
Yeah. And then we're all set. All right. Then we get to kind of what's left. Real quick. Allegretti on the offensive line and Biadasz. Yeah. You're an O-line junkie. I'm sorry to make you wait 40-something minutes into a podcast to talk about these guys. What do you make of those two signings?
Yeah, like I talked a little bit about Biotish already. And like center to me is a position. I don't want to say it's like a throwaway position because it's extremely important. But you can kind of get away with like not having the best athlete there. You need a guy that's got a lot between his ears. I think Biotish is a bigger guy. He's almost 315 pounds. Helpful in pass protection, helpful keeping the depth of the pocket. He does have a good feel. There's times where he's a little off balance, but everybody gets a little off balance in pass pro every once in a while. I like what he does in the run game, kind of has that edge to him. You know, I think he takes good angles in the run game. All that stuff is important. So I definitely see the potential for him to grow and to blossom into kind of this player that's going to be starting here for the next 3 years. And again, he started last year for Dallas, so I'm not saying that he hasn't done that, but to kind of fill out and mature as a player. I think Algeretti, he reminds me a little bit of like Wes Schweitzer when I watch him. You know, he's like a good football player.
Which is funny because he got almost an identical contract to what Schweitzer got a couple of years ago.
He's a tough football player, but to me, I think, you know, and obviously he can grow and mature, and I enjoy watching him play, but I do think that there is an element of like, you're probably a swing guard, kind of like with the Nick Gates signing a little bit last year. Like I liked Nick Gates, but he should not have been starting. I feel like, and that obviously is a better take in retrospect, but I felt like he was going to be the swing player, right? And I feel like Algeretti, while he could come in and play well for you in spot duty, at some point I think is going to be better as kind of that guy that backs up all three spots inside. And so we'll see what happens. And obviously if he comes out and has a great training camp, like more power to you. But I think like Wes Schweitzer, I think he did some good things in 2000, what was that, the COVID year, 21. And then in 2022, struggled a little bit, you know? So I think that's kind of, there is potential there. He is a good physical player, but, you know, there are limitations to him, his game athletically, if that makes sense.
For sure. But he's the right type of guy. Travis Kelce talked about him on New Heights after they won the Super Bowl. He finished the game with a torn UCL. So he's probably going to miss the entire offseason, which obviously is less than ideal. When you're trying to install a new system and all of that, but the toughness and Kelce was like, that dude like has just been great in our room the entire year. So Allegretti, right kind of guy. And maybe he competes with a guy like Chris Paul. By the way, content on the Commander's YouTube page. Chris Paul talking to Adam Peters down at the Senior Bowl as they were watching his brother.
Yeah.
Good stuff. That's awesome. But anyway, you were gonna say.
No, but I think like he's not bad. And Wes was not a bad football player. It's just like, what is his ceiling? And I like his film. I think he's a tough dude. Shows up on film too. So like, I think it's a great signing. It's just about role, best fit, best use. And I think those are decisions that Dan and the staff have to make.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So that leaves really receiver and then left tackle to talk about. Since we're doing O-line, let's tackle first. No pun intended. There's plenty of options available. This tackle market has not moved at all. In fact, it has grown. DJ Humphrey's the latest addition, who has a long history with Cliff Kingsbury out in Arizona. I didn't realize how long he's been around. I was like, wasn't that dude drafted like yesterday? Nope. He's 30 now. He's played 9 years in the league, all with Arizona. But DJ Humphrey's former high pick, he could be a guy certainly that comes in, has graded out pretty well on PFF pretty recently. Last year, a little bit of a down year. Then you got Tyron Smith, who still is Tyron Smith close to what Tyron Smith was at his peak, but you maybe only get him for 13, 14 games. You got Jonah Williams, younger option. There's David Bakhtiari got cut in Green Bay. He's been banged up a ton, but has played at a really high level for a long time. Any of these options, one, do you feel like they need to go here? Can they wait till the draft? Two of these options, what do you like?
So yeah, I don't know if they need, I don't know if they need to do anything right now, but they definitely need to get a player in at the position. So I know like, for example, like Charles Leno was signed after the draft, right? They got him in after they drafted Sam Cosmi to play left tackle. Like they need a player here, obviously. And so I think it's interesting. Like Tyron Smith, I think is a little compelling because he was still playing good football last year. Obviously the injury thing is a concern, but like if you were to come in, like you were to draft a guy, like think about it at 36, and 40, like the guys you're talking about are like Kingsley Suamataya, Patrick Paul, guys that are physically freaky, but probably need a year. So like, can they be your swing player for a year? And then, or even like, you know, like you were talking about drafting back up into the first round for like an Amarius Mims type guy. Like, let's say you pick him at 25 or whatever. Like, he still feels very developmental to me when you watch him. He's only played 7 college football games, like physically freaky, but only played 7 college football games. So why not have a guy like Tyron or Humphreys? Again, Humphreys reminds me a little, I get like a very strong, like Charles Leno vibe. And I mean that as a compliment, in that he's like never going to be your top 10 tackle in the NFL, but he's a really, really good, like 15 to 20 player that you can kind of go to the bank on. And Leno got to a point near the end of his career where that was a little bit more challenging for him. But I think right now that's what Humphreys is. So maybe that's the move. And again, you have this kind of really uber talented piece at 36 or 40 that you draft and is your swing guy for a year, but you need somebody, you know, like Donovan Smith. There's inconsistency with his play that make me go, I don't know if I love that. Some people say Mekhi Becton is another one, but to me, Mekhi Becton, because of his injury history, is still basically a rookie. So why would I bring somebody in to kind of hold down the fort that doesn't have the consistency to his play that like a Tyron Smith or a Humphreys or, you know, even Trent Brown. I think Trent Brown is probably off the table because of the work ethic concerns. But, you know, like I'm bringing a free agent in to kind of give me some peace of mind and give me flexibility in the draft. And again, if I need to sit that young tackle for a year, I can do that. But so I think that's the value there.
Yeah, no, I lean hard into the veteran guy for a year, 2 years, and then take your big swing. And whether that big swing is first round swing or second round swing, that seems to make a lot of sense to me. I would then say receiver is the other position where they don't have enough guys to field the team right now. Typically, you want 5, 6, 7 guys in a receiver room. You want to, you know, last year in camp, it felt like they had 10 guys that were NFL quality players. And I guess some of those guys, technically, like a Bryson Tremaine was on the practice squad all year. Like, did they sign him to a futures contract? Is he still around? Whatever. They did, I think, sign Kaz Allen to a futures contract. So, like, he's on the 90 man right now. So there are a couple of guys floating around that were kind of in that didn't make the team crew last year. But Mitchell Tinsley, De'Ami Brown, and then obviously Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin are the guys there. And I think there's some really intriguing names on this list that, considering the Commanders still have like $60 million in cap space to play around with, if you want to go sign Hunter Renfro, a dude who just knows how to get open, he professionally gets open and catches footballs, I'm good with that. If you want to go the opposite end of the receiver spectrum and go sign a Mike Williams, who's obviously got the familiarity with Anthony Lynn, I'm good with that. Go sign the big X receiver. There's plenty of options in the draft as well. But I do think there's also something to, like, Terry's never really had a vet. And at this point, Terry is a vet, but same kind of concept that we've been talking about of, can you get, feel like you take some of the burden off of his shoulders to be the man for the franchise and allow him to learn from someone else like a Mike Williams, even though they're pretty close in age. Like, I think that there's value there.
I think so too. I mean, also, I just think, like, unlike the tackle market, which is a little bit kind of, there's not a ton available. You know, the draft's pretty dense. And then there's all these warts with the guys that are free agents, you know, even though they're talented. And I think it would be awesome if they were to sign them at the right price. The receiver market, to me, is just oversaturated at the moment. So with regards to making a decision here about this, I would wait till after the draft. I just think there's so many good football players at the receiver position, like so many. It's like there's probably 15 or 20 guys that'll go in the top 3 rounds. Like, there's just a lot of good receivers. And so I think there's going to be a lot of good UDFA receivers, right? I think there's going to be guys you get in the 5th round that are, like, I'm not kidding, that are going to be able to contribute to your team pretty dramatically, right? Like Javon Baker from UCF, like, no one's talking about him, but he's a hell of a football player. So I just think wait on this. There's a plethora of receivers. You know, there's going to be guys that get cut after the draft. Somebody's good's going to be there. Like, I think this is an opportunity for you got to kind of be like, hey, like, because there's so many good football players in the draft, in free agency, like, we can either be really selective now and find the right guy for our fit, or we just wait and more good football players are going to be available. I think, you know, kind of combining the draft and then post-draft cuts. So,
yeah. I also look at Curtis. You know, he had a really good year last year. Like, if the price is right, would I bring Curtis back? Yeah, Renfro, Williams. Like, there's so many guys that I think are available that if they're willing to come here, because for whatever, like, they've subscribed to the Zach Ertz quote about Cliff will get his guys the ball. And like, sure, if you want to sign up now, but if not, you know, there's no urgency, which is, that's a great negotiating position to be in. It's like, yeah, we like you, but we don't need you. So you can come at our number, or we'll talk to you later. And if you don't get anything better, like, we'll still be interested. Or we might be. So the onus is really on you as the player. Anything else team-wide, positionally, whatever that we didn't get to?
No, I'm just excited. I mean, I'm still excited, honestly, for like the third wave of free agency to come through, you know, because I think there's still opportunities to sign good football players that are going to be impactful, whether it's as like rotational linebackers, tight end, whatever it is. And then, you know, special teams guys. So the roster building element of this is not done. And it's just, I think it's cool that the process has gone kind of to script so far. And it's just great to see like a plan being executed the way it's being executed. And I just want to see the continuation of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Should also see a lot of introductions over the next 36 hours. I got a lot of guys, I was told, flew in last night. They're gonna sign their contracts today, tomorrow. So then you get interviews and press conferences and the whole deal. I don't know exactly how with like they're not gonna do a press conference for each guy because there's 15 dudes that signed so far. By the way, Jameson Crowder back. We should mention in the receiver. Yeah. Love that. You know, always a big JC guy. But you know, whether they're Zooms or press conferences, or they just do a day where we all go out there and talk to them in the bubble, kind of like they did the assistant coaches. You know, we'll see what the PR staff puts together in Washington, but all the official announcements be coming very, very soon. In fact, by the time some of you guys hear this, there will certainly be some that are out. Logan and I then do for kind of, I guess, I kind of feel like we're due for mock draft 3.0 in the next 2 weeks here. Because now we're at a post free agency situation. So, we'll get into that. Also got some cool stuff planned for next week as well. More insight on some of these guys coming out in the draft. So we'll finish up free agency and then go full bore into draft mode as we are now just about 6 weeks away from the 2024 draft. For Logan, you can find more from on Instagram at Logan_Paulson82. And of course on the Commanders YouTube page where they are doing all kinds of draft content where Logan is the properly featured star. I'm Craig Hoffman, who you can find on the radio, the Team 980, 4 to 7 daily. We also stream that show live on YouTube at Team 980. And we'll see you next time on Take Command.